It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Tuesday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios this morning on this, the morning after the opening of the Democratic Convention. You know, back a few weeks ago, before the Republican Convention, the collective wisdom, especially of the mainstream media and the political pundits, were, oh, this Republican Convention, it is going to be a mess. There is so much division. Well, for the most part, except for the wrinkle with Ted Cruz, late in the convention, Republican convention last week, all went very smoothly. The protests outside were fairly mild. And, you know, there wasn't really a whole lot to talk about. The Trump speech and the most of the reporting had to do with Trump's kids and the great speeches they gave. So a very positive kind of week. And the polls, we'll talk about those in a few minutes. The polls coming out of the Republican convention, very favorable to Donald Trump. Now, the other part of that collective wisdom of the mainstream media was how different the Democratic convention was going to be. Wow, it was just going to be a simple coronation. Bernie Sanders was okay with everything. And then something happened last weekend. There was the dumping of these thousands of emails, the hacking into the DNC, Democratic National Committee computers. And what did that reveal? Well, it revealed, just as Bernie Sanders had been saying during the whole primary campaign against Hillary Clinton, it revealed that the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, really headed in for Bernie Sanders because they wanted Hillary Clinton. And there is no question about it. The emails show that. We'll read you a few of these emails in just a few moments. So everything blew up Sunday, yesterday. The head of the DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, forced to resign after all of these emails come out. Nobody was questioning the content of the emails. Now, the Democrats, the first thing they tried to do, they said, well, really, the Russians did this hacking, and they're just trying to help Donald Trump. And so they tried to deflect things away, and I was watching some of the Democrat supporters yesterday in a desperate attempt to get away from the content of these emails. Well, certainly Bernie Sanders supporters yesterday who are in Philadelphia for the convention, they weren't buying it. There were some angry, angry protests. Some of them even last night when Bernie Sanders gave his speech, they had tape across their mouths and basically their way of protesting how Bernie had been shut out with the help of the Democratic National Committee. Remember, the committees, both parties, Republican and Democrat, they're supposed to remain neutral. But that certainly wasn't the case. Again, it made the Republicans look so good. So last night, as they opened up their convention, it fell to Bernie Sanders, and there was a lot of kind of anticipation. What was Bernie going to say when he got up to speak last night? Well, he tried desperately. He tried desperately, despite many of his supporters still very angry. He tried desperately to bring the party together. So let's listen to a little bit of Bernie Sanders' speech last night.
I understand that many people here in this convention hall and around the country are disappointed about the final results of the nominating process. I think it's fair to say that no one is more disappointed than I am. But to all of our supporters here and around the country, I hope you take enormous pride in the historical accomplishments we have achieved. Together, my friends, we have begun a political revolution to transform America, and that revolution, our revolution, continues. This election is about which candidate understands the real problems facing this country and has offered real solutions. Not just bombast, not just fear-mongering, not just name-calling and divisiveness. Based on her ideas and her leadership, Hillary Clinton must become the next president of the United States.
Well, did you catch some of the strategy in that? Bernie trying to quell the anger of his supporters by saying, "We started a revolution and the revolution continues." Now, he's not talking about the Democratic Party. He's not talking about Hillary at that point. He's talking to his own supporters. And he says, "Don't give up. Our revolution, our, some would say, our Marxist revolution, whatever the case may be, is going to continue." But then, you know, he kind of switches and he says, you know, that we've got to make the focus right now on the battle between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and therefore we must support Hillary Clinton. Like I said, I'm going to read a few of the emails in just a second, but if they were hoping to kind of bring some peace to that convention floor last night, at least one of the speakers got up and probably just threw more gas on the flames last night. She's Sarah Silverman. She is a comedian. She took the podium with Senator Al Franken. And then, like I say, I think she just added gas to the flames when she started chastising Bernie Sanders supporters. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
Hillary.
Hillary. The Bernie, can I just say, to the Bernie or bust people, you're being ridiculous. He told us to stretch, so I figured I'd add that.
Yeah, that's really going to help quell the storm. To the Bernie or bus people, you're being ridiculous right from the podium last night. I tell you what, this storm is not going to be put out easily. I think the Bernie Sanders people are going to continue their protest. Some of them that have been interviewed, some of them say we're just not going to vote. Others say they might even vote for Donald Trump because of all this big mess. And, of course, that was another part of it. The Trump people are just celebrating. As some people have said, Donald Trump has turned into a tweet machine. And he was just rejoicing yesterday over everything that's going on at the Democrat convention. I think what he's called, he's referring now to Hillary as Rotten Hillary or something of that nature. But in case you missed it, you've heard the basic story about these emails that are now out there in public, thanks to WikiLeaks. They're out there in public. You may not have heard the content of some of these emails. What has the Bernie Sanders people upset? Well, among other things, there was an email written by people at the DNC which targeted Bernie Sanders' religion. He is Jewish. On May 5th, now this the content of the emails, this was another interesting thing yesterday, published by the Washington Post, very liberal publication. And they started going through some of these emails. And in one of these emails that came out on May the 5th, DNC officials appeared to conspire to raise Sanders' faith as an issue and press on whether he was an atheist, apparently in hopes of steering religious voters in Kentucky and West Virginia to Clinton. Sanders is Jewish, but has previously indicated that he's not religious. Now, one email, according to the Washington Post, from the DNC chief financial officer, Brad Marshall, read, and I quote, "It might make no difference, but for KY, Kentucky, and WVA, West Virginia, Can we get someone to ask his belief? Now, these are people at the DNC suggesting a strategy to discredit Bernie Sanders in the primaries in Kentucky and West Virginia. Quote continues, does he believe in a God? He had skated on saying he has a Jewish heritage. I think I read he is an atheist. This could make several points difference with my peeps. My Southern Baptist peeps would draw a big difference between a Jew and an atheist. And Marshall added in a later email, it's these Jesus thing. In response, CEO Amy Dacey said, amen. So this is what was going on at the Democratic National Convention offices in the midst of the primary. Now, you remember, during the primary, Bernie Sanders said, there is a conspiracy underway here, folks, to discourage my campaign, to diss my campaign, and they're favoring Hillary. Well, the bottom line in all of this, folks, the bottom line is Bernie Sanders was exactly right. The big question now, can the Democrat National Convention this week kind of quell the anger of the Bernie Sanders campaign? Now, one who tried to do that last night was First Lady Michelle Obama. And, Jeff, we're going to use cut four here. And she tried to put the spotlight on Hillary last night, put the Bernie Sanders controversy behind the convention, and put the spotlight on Hillary Clinton. Let's have a listen to some of Michelle Obama's speech.
I trust Hillary to lead this country because I've seen her lifelong devotion to our nation's children. Not just her own daughter, who she has raised to perfection, but every child who needs a champion. Kids who take the long way to school to avoid the gangs. Kids who wonder how they'll ever afford college. Kids whose parents don't speak a word of English but dream of a better life. Kids who look to us to determine who and what they can be. You see, Hillary has spent decades doing the relentless, thankless work to actually make a difference in their lives. Advocating for kids with disabilities as a young lawyer, fighting for children's health care as First Lady, and for quality child care in the Senate. And when she didn't win the nomination 8 years ago, she didn't get angry or disillusioned. Hillary did not pack up and go home, because as a true public servant, Hillary knows that this is so much bigger than her own desires and disappointments. So she proudly stepped up to serve our country once again as Secretary of State, traveling the globe to keep our kids safe. And look, there were plenty of moments when Hillary could have decided that this work was too hard, that the price of public service was too high, that she was tired of being picked apart for how she looks or how she talks or even how she laughs. But here's the thing. What I admire most about Hillary is that she never buckles under pressure. She never takes the easy way out. And Hillary Clinton has never quit on anything in her life.
Well, there you have it. Michelle Obama becoming Hillary Clinton's biggest cheerleader last night. You know, she makes the point that, you know, she didn't give up after she lost there back in 2008 to Barack Obama. But some would say, you know, Michelle put a nice spin on it. Some would say, oh, no, she took that Secretary of State position because her agenda all the way along, as her critics have said through the years, she wants that Oval Office. And that was a way to keep her profile high. You know, Michelle Obama also talking about the way she raised her child and what an example Hillary Clinton has been for children, right? Much more ahead here on Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in. We're back in a couple of minutes.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your healthcare with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Jan Harper, wife of Pastor Bert Harper.
Sometimes it feels like I'm living in a fishbowl. You know what I mean? When your husband is a church leader, your family is constantly being watched. That's why we offer the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat. And our guest speaker this year is American Family Radio's J.J. Jasper.
I'm very excited to be a speaker, and I'll be sharing comedy at this year's Fishbowl Retreat. I'm especially excited that my wife Melanie will minister to the pastor's wives. When speaking at women's events, she shares, if Satan can discourage you, he can defeat you.
If you could use 3 days and 2 nights of relaxation among people who understand your challenges, then join us for the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat.
This year's retreat is scheduled for October 4th through 6th at the Linden Valley Conference Center in Tennessee. Get details at repairingthefoundations.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 300.
And we'll see you there.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this news and commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. Today is a big day for Ethan Dean of Sacramento, California. Like most six-year-old boys, Ethan loves soccer and swimming and Star Wars. But unlike most little boys, Ethan has a genetic disease, cystic fibrosis. His lungs are severely damaged. There is no cure. His days are difficult, but the young boy soldiers on. Today, though, is a special day for Ethan. That's because today, the Make-A-Wish Foundation is going to pay Ethan a visit. Now, some boys might wish to go to Disneyland or meet Spider-Man, but Ethan has a very different wish. He wants to be a garbage man. And the Make-A-Wish Foundation has decided to make his wish come true. Today, Ethan gets to ride on a garbage truck stopping at 5 spots across the city to pick up trash. So if you happen to find yourself along Ethan's route today, be sure to say howdy. And don't forget to separate your recyclables. I'm Todd Stearns.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. As we were saying, yesterday was a tough day as far as the Democrats go as they launched their convention in Philadelphia amidst a huge scandal over emails issued from various officials at the Democratic National Committee, which clearly showed Bernie Sanders was right. The DNC headed in for him and favored Hillary Clinton all the way along, so much so, so embarrassing these emails that Deborah Wasserman Schultz, the head of the DNC, had to step down. But fear not, Deborah Wasserman Schultz, not without a job this morning. She was hired immediately by Hillary Clinton's campaign to be the honorary chairman of Hillary Clinton's campaign. So don't worry about Wasserman Schultz. I mean, she's not going to be any food lines anytime soon. Hillary is taking care of her because Deborah Wasserman Schultz took care of Hillary during the primary campaign. And so last night, as we just heard a few moments ago, Bernie Sanders trying to quell the storm of anger amongst his supporters, yet to see whether that worked. But in the meantime, it was all celebration over at the Republican camp. They were celebrating coming out of their convention, which was fairly mild compared to what we've seen so far at the Democrat convention. And in fact, along with kind of celebrating the woes of the Democratic Party, they had something else to celebrate amongst the Republicans. And that was a huge jump in the polls for Donald Trump coming out of that convention, RNC convention in Cleveland last week. And to help us take us through all this and what it all means, our good friend Gary Bauert, Campaign for Working Families, joins us right now from Washington. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, well, not too bad. You know, if you're a political junkie, regardless of where you come down and what party, this is very interesting to watch.
It sure is. I found myself glued to the TV set last night, even though I despised about 99% of what I heard.
So what's your takeaway from all of this? I mean, the Democrats yesterday went into damage control, and they try to deflect from the content of the email to saying, well, you know, the Russians did this. They stole these emails, and they really want Donald Trump to be the next president. And Donald Trump, of course, and many others were just laughing at that. But even the mainstream media, for the most part, I was just reading from the Washington Post yesterday, they went through some of these emails, and there is no question, Gary, these emails are very damning.
They are very damning. Look, there's a lot to say about this. I mean, for the last, at least last 7 years, 8 years of the Obama administration, Russia and China have been hacking the American government all over Washington, D.C. They've hacked the Pentagon, the State Department. They've broken in through computers and all kinds of secure locations. Conservatives have been complaining that the Democrats in Congress and the president have been kind of placid about it. You know, like, well, we're doing our best to stop it. People like Newt Gingrich have said these hackings are almost an act of war, et cetera. But there's been virtually no reaction from the Obama administration until now, when the hacking involved not our State Department, not our Defense Department, but the thing they really treasure, the Democratic National Committee. I just think it's kind of hilarious that now they're really angry. But on a more serious note, Fred, I mean, look, it's kind of amazing for them to say somehow this is Russia's effort to help Donald Trump. To me, this just magnifies how Hillary Clinton's carelessness about her own emails and her computer probably means that Russia have thousands of emails that our FBI was not able to get its hands on because Hillary Clinton thought she erased them all.
Yeah, which raises the possibility maybe the Russians have a whole lot more that they're going to release strategically.
You know, there's two possibilities here. One is that they release them during the campaign and it impacts the campaign. A scarier prospect is that they've got information because they were able to hack her computer that could jeopardize her after she's elected president. They may have information that is so sensitive about Mrs. Clinton that she could be compromised if she wins the office of the presidency. So, you know, on the one hand, some of this stuff is a little humorous. On the other hand, it's deadly serious. And it just brings up again why, with a woman that shows she can't and doesn't understand and doesn't know how to handle national security information, why in the world would we want to give her more of it by electing her president?
Now, we know the mainstream media, they were pretty good on the story yesterday, as they say, the Washington Post revealing the content of some of the more controversial emails. But we also know the mainstream media is pretty much in bed with the Democratic Party, so they're going to move on this. You've been a political observer, been involved with politics for years and years, live in the Washington area. What is your sense of the American people? Are they going to move on with the mainstream media, or is this because it involves a huge segment of the Democratic Party, i.e. Bernie Sanders supporters, I don't think they're going to let this go during the campaign.
Yeah, you know, it's a big country, and different things affect different people. I think the timing of this story couldn't have been worse for Hillary Clinton's campaign. And it will probably mean that a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters won't necessarily vote for Donald Trump, but they may be very tempted and may either stay home or vote for the Green candidate, who's a very left-wing candidate, or for the Libertarian candidate, who wants to legalize all drugs and has a variety of other rather radical positions. That's one possibility. The other possibility is just the fact that there's another controversy in which the names Hillary Clinton and email are in the same sentence reminds people of the last controversy with Hillary Clinton and emails. You know, I think, Fred, the big story so far is that last week's polling showed that now 68% of the American people do not believe she is trustworthy and honest. I don't see how you can overcome that in an election. I mean, maybe they'll smear Donald Trump enough or whatever to be able to do it, but that's a tall hill to climb. I don't think many people want to elect a president they believe is dishonest and untrustworthy.
The Democrats, you know, behind the scenes must be extremely worried, because going back to the primaries, we know what happened during the primaries. Donald Trump, whether you like him or not, just electrified the Republican base out there. The primary numbers were up, was it 20-30%, something of that nature.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, which is a real condemnation of Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, the numbers for the Democrat primaries were way down. So they were in a hole going into this convention. Now you add this email scandal to it all, and the Democrats, those party leaders behind the scenes, they might put a happy face when they're being interviewed by the media, but they've got to be concerned.
I think they're definitely concerned, and I think because they're concerned and because they think they're so close to owning the country politically. I mean, we've talked about this before. If Hillary Clinton wins, she'll get definitely one Supreme Court appointee, maybe three, given the ages of the justices. I hope everybody understands that means the loss of virtually everything that middle America, Christians, conservatives care about. The First Amendment, the Second Amendment, they're all gone if she gets to put one, two, three more left-wing judges on the Supreme Court. So they're very close to owning the country and basically remaking it completely against the things that I think most of our listeners this morning would be in favor of. So they're going to do whatever they have to do. I think before this is over, this will be the nastiest, meanest, most underhanded campaign we have ever seen in the history of American politics. And that says something, because we've had a couple that were real bad. But I think every dirty trick in the book will be used, and I hope the Trump campaign is ready to deal with that.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Right now, you know, Donald Trump was tweeting out yesterday, they were celebrating the woes of the Democratic Party and the email scandal, the whole thing. And certainly they have the bump in the polls coming out of last week's convention in Cleveland. And one of the more interesting things in those polls shows the huge switch amongst independents towards Donald Trump. What does the Republican Party have to do to maintain that momentum that they saw in Cleveland last week?
I think there's a couple of things here. You know, Trump has made a massive change in the economic message of the Republican Party. Generally, Republicans like Mitt Romney and John McCain and so forth will talk about how important it is to lower taxes at the high end so that people will invest more and businesses will expand, and that will create new jobs. Donald Trump talks about the workers, the people that are employed by somebody, and he aims his economic message at them. And he talks about what millions of Americans know, which is if you ask an American worker in Georgia or Mississippi or Tennessee or Ohio to compete with a worker in Brazil or Mexico or China who's willing to work for a dollar an hour, the American worker is going to lose out, not because he's a worse worker. I put our workers up against any workers in the world, but because those are slave wages for an American. You can't provide for a family on a dollar an hour. And yet both parties have been pushing trade deals that, at the bottom line, send these jobs abroad because American workers are forced to compete. So I think if Trump stays on that message and the Republican Party does some adjustment in their economic message, they are going to get the votes of millions of additional middle Americans that have not been voting Republican. And so the only missing piece then will be if evangelicals and values voters who may not like Donald Trump's demeanor or may not like his personal story and may be tempted to stay home or whatever, if that happens, well, Hillary Clinton probably wins. But if values voters will look at the promises that Trump has made on Supreme Court justices who will be pro-life and other very specific things he has said on supporting Israel, on religious liberty, I think that's going to be, he will be a candidate very hard to beat if that coalition coalesces.
Now, last week at the convention, I think you participated in a panel discussion.
Yeah.
Hosted by Politico, and I guess talking about evangelicals and where they stand on all of this. What was coming out of that panel discussion?
Well, most of the evangelical leaders there, even though I don't think any of us had Donald Trump as our first choice, all of us concluded that in a choice between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, there's just no question which way we needed to go. And again, I would go back to the Supreme Court decisions and what that will mean on religious liberty and so forth. But, you know, in the past, Fred, a lot of Republican candidates have gotten our votes by what's called identity politics. That is, they were people like George W. Bush, who was clearly an evangelical, talked like us, could quote Bible verses accurately. But then, quite frankly, when he got into office, didn't do the things we expected him to do. So one of the things I said in the panel discussion was, look, if I want to see people that worship like me, I can do that on church on Sunday. What I want is a candidate in office who I am convinced will actually do the public policy things that we want them to do. And I'm convinced that Donald Trump will do that. And I think the selection of Mike Pence as his running mate is a very clear signal of how much Donald Trump understands the values voter community and wants to signal to us that he will be a partner with us on things like the sanctity of life and religious liberty.
Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families, always appreciate your analysis, sir. And your end of day, which I always tell people I get at the end of my day here, and it is just an invaluable resource on what's going on political-wise in our country these days. How can people get that?
Well, they can go to CWF, that stands for Campaign for Working Families, CWF PAC, P-A-C, because it's a political action committee. So CWFPAC.com.
All right. Get it, folks. I highly endorse it. Gary, thanks so much as always. We appreciate it.
Great to be with you, Fred.
All right. Take care. Hey, listen, also another kind of political bombshell that's out there, folks, right now is the Dinesh D'Souza movie that's out, Hillary's America. I actually went to see it on the weekend. It opened up on Friday. And I'll tell you what, it is an incredible history lesson, but also it contains a lot of information, perhaps that you're not aware about Hillary Clinton, her background going way back. A background on the Democratic Party, and then specifically about Hillary Clinton. It's called Hillary's America, and it's playing in the theaters right now. You may want to go see it because I think it's a real eye-opener, and we'll see how it's going to be doing. Someone told me yesterday it ended up number 9 on the weekend ratings as far as the movies that came out last weekend, which, given the lack of publicity in the mainstream media, wasn't too bad. All right, want to hear from you. Your turn, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning with Fred. We're talking about the bombshell dropped yesterday at the Democratic National Convention on the opening day. Can they overcome it? And does it make any difference for the Republican Party? 888-589-8840, the number to call. We're back in just a few moments. We'll be right back.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Ryan Dobson here. You know, throughout the years, I've had a lot of people tell me they wish they had a dad like mine. Well, the truth is, you can be mentored by my dad, Dr. James Dobson, by listening to Family Talk, right here on this radio station. Whether you have questions about how to spice up your marriage or how to discipline that strong-willed child, we address the topics that matter most to your family. So make plans today to catch Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Each weekday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on AFR Talk.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Marquis Laughlin is founder of Acts of the Word Ministry and host of the radio and online show The Moral Dilemma. He challenges believers to develop a biblical worldview through dramatized illustrations and interpretive readings of the Bible.
They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Marquis Laughlin is sure to be an entertaining speaker this year at the annual AFA Retreat at the Cove, October 3rd through 6th. Space is limited to 400 attendees, so make your plans soon. Get more information at afafoundation.net. Register by calling 800-950-2092, option 1, followed by option 2. It's the annual Retreat at the Cove in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of North Carolina at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. And we hope to see you there.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. If you see one movie this year, make it Hillary's America. You will surely come away convinced to do everything you can to prevent this country from actually becoming hers. This film is the third by visionary political philosopher, author, and activist Dinesh D'Souza to illuminate, expose, and irradiate those seeking to fundamentally transform the United States. Hillary's America recounts the historical role played to that end by the Democratic Party. Its dramatic reenactments of odious chapters in the party's past, incisive interviews critiquing the Obama present, and D'Souza's own compelling experiences and narration powerfully warning about a dark future under Hillary Clinton make this film required viewing for every voter this fall. Opening just as Democrats began their appalling spectacle in Philadelphia, Hillary's America underscores the truly enormous stakes associated with election 2016. Please don't just see it, promote it. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to the Tuesday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. It is the morning after the opening of the Democratic National Convention. We expect much more fireworks ahead on that. You know, just before the break, we were talking about Dinesh D'Souza's movie, which came out on the weekend, Hillary's America. And I agree with Frank Affney. It is a must-see during this election campaign. As I say, a tremendous background on the Democratic Party and a tremendous background on the history of Hillary Clinton. Also featured in that movie, wanted to mention, is a very brilliant lady. She is a law professor at Vanderbilt University, Carol Swain. Now, she's an African-American lady. And in the movie, she supplies D'Souza with a lot of historical evidence as to the real nature of the Democratic Party. Very anti-black. Carol Swain is a black woman herself. She has undergone personal persecution there at Vanderbilt University, folks. And again, unless you're listening and hear our programs here at American Family Radio, you may not be aware of this. But Professor Swain has been condemned by many students on the campus there. She has not received the support of the university officials there. She has been persecuted for her views on Islamic terrorism. She has condemned it. She has been persecuted for her views on Black Lives Matter, a movement that she refers to as pure Marxism. It is absolutely amazing. Most of the time with the Democrats, for sure, they're going to be on the side of African Americans, regardless of point of view, but not in this case. I tell you what, this is a woman who's being persecuted, but she is featured. If for no other reason, go and see what she has to say in this movie, Hillary's America. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Let's go to our phones right now, and let's head out to Victoria, Texas first, and Buddy is on the line. Go ahead, Buddy. Good morning.
And thank you for taking my call, and God bless y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the Pinocchio deal was still going on. I think Mrs. Obama would have a nose as long as a redwood tree, because what she said about Hillary is not all truth.
Okay. You saw the speech last night, did you? For Mrs. Obama?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's I think a lot of people are going to agree with you, buddy, that last night she was spinning it out there about Hillary Clinton. One of the things, and we played this a few moments ago, is that she said Hillary Clinton had raised her one daughter perfectly. The perfect parent, Hillary Clinton. I think there's quite a few people out there that might take issue with that. Let's go to Arkansas and Holland on the line. Holland, good morning.
Good morning, Fred.
Yes, sir. What you got to say?
Well, you may or may not agree with me, but I believe with just listening to our own church leadership, our denominational leadership, that our pastors have basically become silent and are not helping the membership know exactly the issues that are facing us in this election. Seemingly, they're promoting more of a stay home, don't do anything in this election than they are taking a stand to vote for Donald Trump. And my point is, the only thing that's going to destroy the church in America is the next several appointees to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And if Donald Trump is not elected and Hillary is, that appointees are going to be anti-everything that Christianity stands for. And why aren't our pastors and our church leaders taking a stand with their membership? I read Jeremiah, I believe it's chapter 25, where it says, "Woe unto the shepherds that scatter their flock."
Mm-hmm.
Well, Fred, our flock is scattered if we do not know who to vote for in this coming election.
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, to that point, I heard a great sermon, I believe it was yesterday, from Dr. Robert Jeffress on his Pathway to Victory program here at American Family Radio. And in that message, he was encouraging pastors to do exactly what our caller was saying, is to speak out on the issues, that pastors cannot afford to stay silent. He was making the point that some pastors, the reason they stay silent sometimes is for some reason they believe that if they say something political, that their 501c3 tax-exempt status is going to be affected. And Pastor Jeffress was saying that is simply not the case. You know, in many black churches across our country, they're not afraid to speak out politically. And Pastor Jeffress was making the point there is not one case where the IRS has come in and removed the 501c3 from a church for saying something political from the pulpit. And many of us have to agree with our caller that our pastors do take a role in being involved in this election. Now, it's not necessary and probably not wise to tell people who to vote for, But I think it's what many people advise is you can certainly tell people what should determine their vote. Looking at party platforms, looking at where various candidates stand, whether it's the local Senate or House candidate or whether it's the president himself. Where do they stand on the key issues? And our pastors, as our caller said, really have a role to play in all of that of educating their congregation. To Pennsylvania now, and Craig. Good morning, Craig. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I think this kind of dovetails with what you said. And there was a very famous preacher in the past named Martin Luther King, and he had a saying, maybe adjusted for today's time, you don't judge a party chair by the color of their skin, but the content of their email.
Really? That's quite an interesting quote.
Yeah, I think you know, your email does reflect your character, mm-hmm. and I think maybe that people should maybe kind of look back at our history and see the true meaning of what that means. So mm-hmm. that's all I have to say.
All right, Craig, we appreciate it. And as we were mentioning earlier in the program, the Washington Post, no friend of conservatism, did a pretty good job yesterday in laying out some of the contents of those emails. And I'm not sure if you can get to it. You go to the Washington Post, I assume it is washingtonpost.com, and put in their search engine DNC emails, and you probably will bring up the story that they had on their front page yesterday, which gave examples of some of those emails. I tell you what, you read through some of those examples, and any kind of speculation about where the DNC stood during the primaries as far as backing Hillary Clinton and trying to discredit Bernie Sanders, any doubts about that are gone. And is it any wonder why the Bernie Sanders people are really, really upset? Annette in Louisiana, go ahead. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, Annette.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I want to thank y'all very much for sharing God's love with all across the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all do a fabulous job.
Thank you.
Every day.
Thank you.
I heard earlier about the brown recluse spider, your wife. I had the same thing happen and would like to share how much our God has given us people in the world to help us through these things. I'd gone to the health food store, and she was able to set me up with some high-potent enzymes.
Okay.
And a few other things. So I wanted to share that with him.
Okay.
I have a nasty scar, but guess what?
Okay.
You know, it's gone.
All right. I think we need to explain to folks, Annette, what you're talking about. You're actually talking about J.J. Jasper's wife, Melanie, who suffered a really nasty spider bite. And I know J.J. has talked about this on the air. We ask you to continue your prayers for Melanie. I've seen a few people who have suffered those bites, and I tell you what, it's serious, folks. It does. It can do some damage, and it's very painful. So remember Melanie in your prayers as she continues to recover from this nasty bite that she had back a few weeks ago. Louisiana, Todd, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to comment on is it's not we the people anymore. It's we the government. And it's class warfare. You know, when our forefathers came here, they said all, men were created equal. But you can look around, Fred. I mean, it's not we the people anymore. It's we the government.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to take this government back from the political elites. And you know what I'm talking about? Just the billionaire industry. You know, Bernie Sanders talks, I'm not a Bernie Sanders fan, but he says a lot. You know, top 1%, they know what it is. They know it's a rigged system. And then until, America comes together with one voice, then it's going to be the same. But I think it's class warfare, and there's a lot of millions and millions of dollars going around, and I see people on the streets starving and homeless. Mm-hmm. When are we going to help those people, Fred? And I'm going to hand it off a little to you, brother.
All right, Todd, we appreciate that. Well, I think the church has a responsibility, certainly, to reach out to that. And I think that's one of the problems. I think it's primarily should be a church's responsibility of Christians to help people who are truly down and out, not because of anything that they have done in the way of poor decisions. But many times it's because, and we know in this economy, that companies have downsized. people only working part-time jobs. And that's where the church comes in to help its church members when they're going through difficult times like this. The problem in our society, as you get more socialistic in your thinking, is that they say, well, the government is supposed to do all of this. And that is certainly not the case. It may be a way to win votes, which I think the Democratic Party has capitalized on over the years, is that you keep people in need of government help, and that way you ensure their vote. And that's one of the things, by the way, that comes out in this Hillary's America movie that's out there right now, that it is a deliberate strategy, according to the movie, of the Democratic Party to keep people in need of the government, and therefore you'll keep getting their votes. It is very sinister, and the movie gives a good background on this and the whole philosophy, which I say is very deliberate. Mark in Virginia. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for doing what you guys do. Much appreciate listening to you a lot as I'm driving down the road working. I just wanted to comment on the, you know, when you apply for a government job, your Facebook page and your social media, I mean, they do background checks. You go through this, like, heavy, heavy clearance of, like, you know, this person's character and their qualifications. You know, they're going to be vettable to get into this position. And I think, you know, Hillary Clinton and the Clintons have already shown that, you know, they already control not only the FBI, but, I mean, who knows? You know, I mean, they're just getting away with everything. Anyone else that would apply for a government job with her already, you know, sketchy emails and all the stuff she's got going on, I mean, they wouldn't even be, like, their resume would just be tossed aside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking at their tweets and all this stuff, I mean, and then, you know, she's got this, you know, she's just not qualified, I don't think, to be in the position.
You know, a lot of people, Mark, have commented on the double standards that's there. And there's no question about it. If you or I were applying for a government job and we were found out the way things have been found out about Hillary Clinton and her handling of email, the email server at her house, this sort of thing, and that's the point many people have made. There's a double standard certainly at play. She may not have been charged formally by the FBI, but a lot of people are noting that people who have done far less are in trouble. We've got maybe time just for another quick phone call. Let's go to Mississippi and Chuck. Go ahead, Chuck. Just a few seconds.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say that at the end of each one of the speeches, it was evident that the speakers wanted to go back to pro-choice for women, to get the right to a safe abortion. They didn't really use the word safe, but I know that's usually the rhetoric. And I believe one of our what we call inalienable rights is the right to life. And these children, it really, abortion is the, I believe it brought it, obviously it's one of the worst, it has to be the worst sin in our country.
Absolutely, Chuck, and excellent comment. And you know, there's a reason why Planned Parenthood has given its endorsement through the years to both Barack Obama and also to Hillary Clinton, because they are clearly, and pro-choice is the word that's used by liberals. It's really pro-abortion. It's pro being in favor of murdering the unborn baby. Hey, listen, we're fresh out of time. Much more great programming ahead here at American Family Radio. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Sandy back in the chair tomorrow. We'll see you again soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.